Good day, ladies and gents. Welcome to the Fairway Fit Golf Podcast, where two friends get together to talk about how we are trying to look good, feel good, and play good. Let's go. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Fairway Fit Podcast. As you can see, we've got Greg here with us. And Greg, looks like you're sitting in the garage. Tell us a little bit about that.
Oh, of course. I mean, I'm on my my annual three-week vacation with the family and down at my mom's place. I'm in Pop's garage here. It's very awkward that my mom has that just gigantic picture of him up on the wall, but... You know, we get it done. We got the golf cart behind us. I think I've driven a golf cart more in the last 2 days of being down here than I have in like weeks prior.
That's what I was, well, I was going to ask, how's the golf cart running? Everything's still good?
Oh, smooth. 26 miles an hour. You know, kids love it. I mean, kids go on, I would say, anywhere between 4 and 6 golf cart rides.
That's just awesome. That is awesome. That's awesome. That's something definitely on the dream list to always have something like that around the house. Not that I need to go very far here. I could use one, but I know you don't really need one getting around the townhouse areas.
Stanley won't miss one, you know, if you accidentally pull through the woods on 8 and don't bring it back.
Yeah, I do have a key. I do have my own.
Like, no, I walked today. No, sir, I'm pretty sure.
I do have a key that I had all the way back from when I was coaching there. I still have a key that it's in my drawer.
Still works on every single car.
Oh, yeah, the club
any
car,
easy
no club car key. Yeah, every single
club car key.
So, yeah, so it has been hot here. I know you mentioned it's been hot there. We got a full episode. We're going to go over week 5 as we are rolling right on through our summer season. The only thing that's bad when we're rolling through our summer season is that means work is coming sooner than later as we're going through here. Don't say those bad words.
The words that should not.
And then we're
said.
Also going to go through a little bit of a mid-year review. All right, we're about we're probably a little over halfway point. It is the night of the All-Star game. The Home Run Derby was last night. I always like to think that's midway through the year. So we'll talk a little bit about our mid-year numbers. And then talk a little bit about what's next, what you got planned. I know you are on a kind of a long trip, but we'll go from there. All right, so let's talk about week 5 of the summer season. All right, it was another hot one. We both got out and played today. Greg, obviously, down in North Carolina. Myself, right here where I always play. And I don't go too far.
Home field advantage.
A little bit. And you know,
at least I played a course that I've actually played.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, you've played that course quite a bit in the last 8 or 9 years. How long they lived there?
They've lived there 7 years, okay. But it's been a year since I played it. I played it this time last year for like the last.
That's
like,
right.
I came back.
When you went down, you played a couple places around it the last couple times. That's right. I don't remember that now. So, okay. Well, it was a familiar course. I know it's a course like. It's an ass course I played. It's a very enjoyable course to play on. But let's talk.
There's been a couple of changes, and one change bit me in the butt on 17, but we'll get there.
Okay. I'm going to go ahead and pull up my grit to make sure I have my numbers on what I was able to accomplish today. We'll say that I have the home field advantage. I was able to have a big week last week. Stole some bonus points.
Big, huge.
It was huge. I stole some bonus points. So I have
a Hail Mary. Hail Mary, even par round. I mean, you hit every bonus point except for a hole in one.
I have a new bonus point I want to add for the next 5 weeks. So we'll add that on at the end. But it may have to skew it a little bit, but we'll talk about that when we get there. You're going to hate me, but I hit the ball terribly today. Terribly today. But I scored
Welcome to the club.
Incredibly well. So... I don't remember consecutive holes where I did blade and iron. I did okay off the tee. The tee wasn't the issue, but I was coming up. I was thinning everything, and I'm not talking about like thin and still getting there. I'm talking about the rockets that are going straight in front of you. But
okay.
But I ended up okay. I scrambled my rear off. I only hit 3 out of 9 greens on the front, which is very down.
That's very low for you.
It's down. I was 4 for 7 on fairways. The couple times I was off, I wasn't off by a lot, so it wasn't like there were big misses. But here's the big one. I had 14 putts, kept me in the ball game. I had 1, 2, 3, 4 one putts. I had 4 bogeys, 5 pars, and I shot at 40 on the front. So I literally walked off 9 sinking. I was like, either I need to turn this around, or I literally just scored the best possible score I could possibly have, blading everything all over the place.
That, if you're hitting the ball bad and shooting a
40, yeah, I mean, I'm not
pretty dang good.
Not complaining one bit. Like I said, I was able to get up and down. You know, if I missed 6 greens and I got up and down 1, 2, 3, 4 times. So, I mean, that's really good. And that's only the front. I'm not going to get too much into it, but it did continue on the back as well too. But, so I ended up with a 40, the tips play me with a 7 handicap. So I got a little bit of a buffer playing from the tips back here. So, there you go. Front 9, 40.
I would say that I was on the same path of not hitting the ball well today. I got to go out with a full on member. Technically, I'm a member of this course as well, but this guy, you know, actually just kind of offered to go out with me to my mom, and awesome guy, businessman. He's retired.
Did you know this guy, or is this that same?
No,
this was
no,
a different like buddy that you met him on, meet up with.
Met him on the first tee. Yeah, met him on the first tee and got to talking with him. He was actually a D1 wrestler in college, wrestled at Iowa State right after Dan Gable's tenure there. So he's,
pretty legit, right?
Yeah, full ride scholarship there and everything like that. So, I mean, he was real deal.
Where was he from?
When he asked, he was originally from Iowa.
Okay. I didn't know if that was
But he basically raised his family and did all of his working years in Maryland. So, he was very familiar with that, the Northern Virginia area. It was a stick. We played the Blues. I think that taps out right around like 63 something or 64. Basically struggled from the start and couldn't really, I had like a can't get right round. I think I was probably playing with everything, whether it be my stance, my alignment, my grip, my tempo, my, you know, shot shape, my, I think, basically it was like, I texted you after 9, it basically, you know, I'm just going to play this rest of this round, trying to figure something out and get it right. But did. So I started with, a quad on the first hole, hit a house. Lady was very nice. She came out. She was like, "Did you find your ball?" She was like, it hit on the roof. So it didn't hit a window. And I was like,
"Wow,
sorry, ma'am." She was very nice. Very nice.
I don't think you would get that in this area up here at all.
Nah, super nice lady. Started with a quad and a par 4, then tripled a par 5 with 2 drops. Then bogeyed, then double bogeyed. Then I had a par on a par 3, which I was happy about because par 3s have been my ultimate nemesis lately. Then doubled. Then actually I doubled on probably the best drive of the day. Like smoked it. I think I was 98 yards out on a par 4 and probably had right around a 290 to 300 yard drive. Yeah. In the middle of the fairway, and shanked a wedge that went OB. And I was just like, this is the day that I'm having right now. After that, basically the next hole was an ultimate demise. I was pushing everything and then overcorrected and basically yanked my tee ball out of bounds. Then my approach shot and yanked it again out of bounds, and carted a 9 on a par 4.
So you had a quad, a triple, and a 9.
Yeah. And then now they followed that
they
up.
They will adjust and grant, right? I mean, they're not.
Yeah, yeah.
They're probably, what, taking triple on all of those? Is that?
Triple max would triple be max. Probably what
I guess there's a couple that maybe not be, but triple max. Yeah, I think it's how it works.
Eight, bogey to par three that was just left an eight iron out to the left of the green, chipped it short rather than having it run up, and then two putted from there. But then I scrambled my butt off on nine, which was a par five. I kind of yanked a driver into it went through a waste bunker and then up into the pine straw on the left-hand side. Put a five iron out to, wedge area, stuck a wedge real close and one putted for a birdie. So I was like, okay, maybe I'm going to turn this round around. He actually ended up leaving after nine. He was like, I'm going to get to play nine today. He was like, you should be able to fly through the back. And it was actually true. There was one group ahead of me and I didn't see anybody else on the back nine after they threw. So I played fast, but I played bad too. So I shot a 53 on the front.
Oh my gosh.
I was 1 for 7 on the fairways. I was 22% greens and I had 7 penalties. I had a thought process mid round where I was not sure if I was going to have enough balls in my bag. I was going to take it.
Did you warm up?
Yeah.
What do you think it was? What was different today?
Don't know.
I mean, you're not, unfortunately, big holes don't, they're not hidden from you. You do find them every once in a while, but not like that. Not like that. I mean, if you would have told me that you had those three in a whole round, I'd be like, ooh, that's pretty bad. But you're telling me we're just in the front nine. I mean, that.
Yep. And here's the thing. I wasn't even drinking that much today. I had 4 beers. I had 4 beers the entire round.
Mm. Did you go to the range after? Did you figure things out?
No, because I had to go to the pool right there, the clubhouse pool, in order to get the kids. I was going to meet up with the fam and go to the pool afterwards.
Okay. Well, just knock out your back here. Go ahead and get that misery through. I feel bad. I don't know what to say.
Yeah.
I feel bad.
It was like I said, it was one of those where, like, on the back nine, I was just like, okay. Like, I tried to, like, positive self-talk. Yeah. You talk yourself through shots. I literally was just like, if I had a good shot, I was like, that was a great shot, Greg. That was a great shot. Like, yes, do that all the time. And then, like, literally the next shot would be like, WTF. Like, are you serious? Like, so on 10, I lost a drive out to the right. And it was OB, because, like, that's my one thing with this course is if you're off the fairway and you're maybe 5 yards on the opposite side of the cart path, you're OB. There's white stakes everywhere. So basically went double, double. Par, par, double, 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 par to finish at 48 on the back, had 18 putts again.
Five doubles or six doubles?
Six on the back. 2 for 7 fairways, 33% greens, and 6 penalties on the back.
So you had 13 penalties.
In one round. The 18 pack of Pinnacles would have been nice today, because rather than me losing all of my used Titleist balls.
Man.
I think I might have picked up one or two along searching the woods. Damn. Just to be like, all right, I'm gonna play with this for the next hole or two.
So what did you finish?
Finished at a 101. I was playing at an 18 handicap for a net 83, which I would rather shoot an 83, net 68 on that. Yeah. 69.
And you don't never, it just nothing felt right the whole day? Did you roll it okay?
No.
I mean, like, usually always roll it.
I rolled it okay. I was putting really well. I mean, like I said, it wasn't dropping. I mean, I had one putt, but like I had a lot that like just distance. Like I had a bunch that were like just burning the edge and stopping right next to the hole or stopping right in front of the hole, half rotation, they would have fallen type thing. Like I had that type stuff for most of my two putts. I only three putted once. And that was just really me being a baby on the first one on a long putt.
Gotcha. All right. Well, let me rip through this. I'm not going to be too long here. I did figure it out a little bit on the back. I still only hit three more greens on the back, but I was 5 of 7 from the fairways. And I had 11 putts on the back.
Dang. Yeah,
so I was just making it. If I wasn't hitting the green, I had a lot of stuff on the fringe today. So the putting numbers are a little skewed because obviously I'm putting that ball. I actually tried to putt through like 10 feet of fringe today. I was like on the fairway on a par 5 and I tried to putt through. It was a terrible putt. I left my birdie putt 12 feet, but I actually made the birdie putt. So that was, not too upset. But I ended up with a 37 on the back. I did have two penalty balls myself. I saved. So on 14, ended up blading my iron into the lake on the side. Not 15, 14 is the one that goes like straight downhill. But
I
got up and down. And then on 18, I tugged my hybrid. So I had to drop pretty far back. And I actually was like, man, screw it. I'm going to go for it. I was like 250. I kind of was like, I kind of teed my ball up in the rough. And I go, no, wait, I can't do that. So I picked it back up. I did a drop. And I ended up having a fine lie. Nothing was bad. And I tried to swing out of my shoes and I thinned it right down the middle of the fairway. Didn't go more than 80 yards, but I was fine. I was like, oh my God, thank goodness. And then I hit a wedge to about 10 feet and made it. I was on the fringe, so I ended up getting a zero putt on that one. So I ended up saving par. So I shot 77. Like I said, I had no business shooting a 77 today at all. If I didn't, wasn't around the, I was around the cup enough with the putter to make some stuff. So I was pretty blessed with that. I got up and down. I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 and a zero putt on the back. So I was actually probably better off not hitting the green today. And I mean, I chipped it well enough to have like 5, 6 footers and making those. So, but I didn't chip it. I would never have thought I was tapping in all the time. So, which has been frustrating because I've been chipping a lot lately. And like, I think I've told you this before at Stone Lee, I don't feel like there's really only one spot to miss off the green and then you can chip it close. If you're not in that spot, inside 8 feet sometimes is a good chip. And obviously you're not going to make 8 foot putts all the time. But today I was able to roll some in. So 77, net 70. I'll take week number 5. We'll erase this from your memory. And you never have a round like this again. That is,
fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed. So we're going to definitely make sure that doesn't happen to you. Sounds like it was a little bit of everything: off the tee, irons, short.
Yeah, I mean, usually I bring something to the round where, you know, even if the tee ball is not working okay, I'm hitting irons and wedges and putting well. And usually there's always one thing missing, but today it was just everything just did not click today.
Wow. Okay. Well, that's one thing about golf. I've had days where I've hit it well and scored like junk. And I've had days like today where I've hit it bad and scored. So hopefully this was just one of those combos for you. Throw it out the window, move on, get to the next one, get on the course, get to the range as soon as you can. Night putt.
Different type of grass too.
Yeah, I mean, at the same time,
I wasn't like it's not like I was chunking shots. I was actually making really good contact. It was just I was pushing what I was hoping to draw it. I was basically, you know, I just wasn't releasing the club right. And I was tugging when I should have been pushing. Right. I mean, just like, you
know, what was
everything I was supposed to be doing?
Yeah, we talked about it before when we were you're north of Myrtle. Obviously, you're not technically in Myrtle, but north of Myrtle.
Yeah.
We've talked about it before. They have that. It's not really like a Bermuda rough. It's more like a Zoysia rough. It does turn the club face, especially when it's sitting down. I mean, it does turn the club face quite a bit. So, you know, I mean, it does make a difference, but obviously it doesn't make the 2013 penalty shot different.
Right.
I mean, you take those out right there, you're shooting 87 net 72. Actually, net less than that, because you said you were 17.
18.
So you would have been right below that. So would have been a whole different game. So, all right. So one thing we also talked about, let's put that away, because I know we're never going to look at that grand again. That shouldn't be unhidden.
No.
We should hide that one. That should be a private post that nobody sees.
You know me.
It was
definitely one of those things where I did not bring up fairway fit at this time with this gentleman. Somehow, some way, though, I got an invite for when I come back into town after we go down to Florida. He was like, when you're back in town, he was like, email me a couple of days before you get back in town. I'll set up a tee time. We'll play again. I was like, you actually want to play with this? Like, seriously? I was like, all right. You know, I didn't mention fairway fit once because I was like, I am a bad marketer right now. I'm like, this is horrible. Turned my hat around. I think I might have like taken black tape and covered up the fairway fit logo on my hat. It was bad.
We all have bad days. Like, we all bad. That's very uncharacteristic. So I wouldn't even know what to do. I'd say try to get on the golf course another time before you leave for your next part or get to the range. I mean, do just something to get the bad feels out. The bad feels out of there so you can move on. So, but one thing we want to do is want to have a mid-year review. Like we talked in the opening segment of the show, we are about just over halfway of our year, just over halfway of our, what we believe our season will probably be as far as the mini episodes we're going to do. And we kind of want to have a kind of a check-in, go over some numbers. I know when I sent all the questions to you, I know I was looking up on the GIN and I was looking up on Grint to make sure I got the right number. So let's just do a little bit of a check-in here. What was your starting handicap of the year? Do you remember?
Believe I was a 15-4.
And where are we sitting now?
A 15-3.
Hey, we're moving up.
I did drop down at one point and then went back up because a couple of good rounds, better rounds, I would say, dropped off and were replaced with some crappy rounds.
Which is how it works.
Staying the same.
Okay, well.
Have a scoring average of a 92.9, which is absolutely petty.
92. Just, yeah, that's a little high. That's a little high. But you're trending in the right direction. So you're on it. I mean, I know you went up a little bit, but this is more of your peak time to play. I know you're traveling, but this is, you get out more in the summer. I can definitely grab some more rounds during mid-year than you do, especially the nine-hole stuff that I'm able to accomplish. So I know when I came into the year, I believe I was in the twos. I know that, remember, because I came off a really strong and nothing fell off yet. But right now I'm sitting at a 3.6. I've had a very good week.
I went up as high as, what was your highest?
I was in the fives, like a five or 5.1, 5.2 for a little bit. Maybe I don't think I was ever over there for more than like one or two rounds, but when some stuff would fall off, I got up there. But you know, I've had a really good stretch of about three rounds, maybe four rounds in a row here that have really boosted me. And then with today, not registering until tomorrow, I think hopefully it probably could drop a little bit as well too. I will say overall, though, I feel, even though I was playing at like a low two last year, by the end of the year, I feel like a so much better, well, it's not like today doesn't really help. I think today we can kind of throw some bull striking stuff out, but I feel like I'm a much better golfer and I have a lot more better idea what the ball is going to do than I ever have. I'm still not putting up lower numbers yet. So, I mean, that's not a bad thing. My scoring average ended 78.8 right now. And that is about
pretty solid.
It's about almost 1 point less than I had last year. Last year, I ended at a 79.5. So 78.8 right now. But I have some really cool numbers. So how many rounds have you played? Were you able to look up that one?
This year?
Yeah.
I mean, well, as far as rounds and grand.
Rounds and grand. Rounds and gin that you've been able to score, I guess, is the better. Because I know when we go on our trips, we don't score those rounds.
Because that's the one thing is we got tons of stuff where basically.
I think my number is going to surprise you a little bit.
Really?
Yeah. Do you have yours? If you don't, I'll go with mine first while you're looking it up. So last year, I scored 93 rounds, which I know is that's a lot. I know that's a lot.
That's a lot.
You remember that was?
But I mean, you're getting your money.
I did. I had to, and it was still fresh. It was still the honeymoon phase, right? So this year, I have 34 scored rounds.
I have 15 scored rounds.
Okay, so.
Which means that basically I have 25 that are unscored or 25 total.
Yeah. So I added about 10 for myself too on those extra rounds. So out of those 34, 11 of them are 9 hole rounds. So I only have 23, 18 hole rounds played.
Oh, okay.
That's the number I thought that would be a little bit surprising. Obviously,
I have 1 9-hole round, which was probably a blessing on Sunday.
Well, yeah, that was because of rain. Nine holes happened a little bit more for me, obviously, when we're working full time and the kids got a million things going on. So I was a little shocked on that number. I thought I was going to be in the 30s of 18 holes and like the 40s overall. And so I got a little work to do to catch up to next year. Not a bad thing to put on the goal sheet. What was your highest round of the year so far?
Highest score?
Our score, yeah, highest score.
Was that probably today?
So it's okay.
No, I'm sorry. Never mind. Yes, it was today because Robert Trent Jones on December 31st was last year.
Yes, it was.
And I shot a 102 on that.
Okay. All right. So today.
That was another day where nothing felt right.
So today. So I guess I could, if we're looking at rounds, I should add in today. And I played 27 today. So it'd be more. He can add one to each category. But so my highest round is an 83, which I was very, very shocked on that. Now, I will tell you, I have a lot of 9 holes where I was 43. 44, 48. So obviously those don't get up to count for the 18. So obviously there was a couple that I would have probably been in the mid 80s if I kept on going. But I do have the one low round. I actually have a low round of a 57 at a par 3 course where I was one over.
Solid.
Yeah. And so that is technically my lowest round in Grint, but overall for the real 18, my lowest round obviously happened last week, 72. What's your low round?
86.
Okay.
Pleasant Valley when I played 2 over on the back.
Man, you've got to have like
and really probably should have been even par or better.
So you probably
that was where I had the lips.
Well, you said you have 15 or so rounds. I bet you have 10 of them between 86 and 89.
No.
No?
No, 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 no. I only have. If you're looking at my gin, I only have 5 of my rounds that are in the 80s. Okay.
I definitely thought there were.
I have a 93, two 92s. And that's it that calculated them again. I have an 88, an 86, an 86, an 88, and an 87.
Okay. I thought you had like more rounds right around the 80s. Yeah, I was pretty surprised my highest being at 83, but like I said, with the nine holes.
Right now, I would like knock an old woman down walking across the street to get in the 80s consistently.
I was talking to a good friend of the show. Me and my little guy and his little guy went out tonight and played nine holes. And, you know, Brian, who went down with us, fairway fit, and he asked how you're doing. And he's the same as me. He goes, you're too good of an athlete to not be in the 80s. And so
I know.
So I don't.
I feel this is one thing that like I feel like has changed. And last year when I kind of just threw caution to the wind and went for stuff, like I try and play so many more smart shots. Like, okay, like, you know, I should lay up here. Let me lay up to a wedge distance. Let me, you know, let me not try and like shoot this gap. Let me go ahead and just like, you know, punch down and get myself in a better position where I can actually, you know, have a two-way miss if need be. And I feel like me doing that now has screwed me over more times than not. As far as like,
I know, but
I feel like basically where I'm like, all right, like
it could be a feeling thing. I get the feeling part of it, but if you don't have numbers, track it. You got to start tracking that somehow. I don't know how you're going to do it unless you're going to take notes and put it in your back pocket, but
dumb mistake. I'll just start putting notes on every single scorecard where it's like dumb mistake. Tried to play smart, didn't work out. Totally ridiculous swing.
I mean, there are many, many times where I think even myself going for things and getting the ball closer to the green is better than laying up in a lot of different scenarios. Obviously, it's different if OB, water, red stake or hazards are around, but being on a par five, for example, if you're going for it, being in a greenside bunker is probably better for me statistically than being 110 yards out hitting a wedge. I'm a decent wedge player where hopefully I'm hitting the green, but I'm probably not always hitting it to inside 10 feet where birdies are happening, where from the bunker, I at least know I'm going to probably get out of the bunker. I mean, unless I have a, you know, tremendously bad lie. I'm not a great bunker player to where I'm sticking it inside 5 feet every time, but I'm going to two putt that one just as much as I'm going to two putt my wedge from 35 feet because I'm not going to stick it close to the green. So
I think one thing that helped me today is, like I said, there was one group in front of me. It was foursome. And they let me play through, but they surrounded the green. They were like standing next to their ball. I guess they all missed the green and they're standing next to their balls and they waved me through because I'm waiting up at the tee. I wasn't out of my cart. It wasn't me a jerk. I was, you know, I was taking my time. It was, you know, it's July. but they waved me through and I was like, oh, God. I was like, oh man. I was like, I'm going to dot one of these people. I know it. And you know, I've been playing bad all day, stuck, you know, a nine iron. Like I was just like, all right, I'm just going to play an easy nine iron. Not going to swing hard. I don't care if I landed a little bit short, whatever, I'll chip on, put it to the front of the green. And they're like, I walk up and they're like, oh, great shot. And like, they're all still standing there. And like, maybe I need a gallery. Like I just need to like put Brody and Elise on either side of the green and be like, all right, I can't. Yeah. Pull it or push it. And then two putted it and it was perfectly fine. The next hole I drove up, it was a par four and crushed a drive, hit a wedge to like 10 feet. And that was the one where if I needed one more rotation over, it would have sunk for birdie, but it was tap in par. And I was like, okay. I was like, why can't I just, I went par without like even trying. And let me see if I can do the next one, snap hooked it in the water.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, like, if you looked at today's round, but I kind of want you to forget about today's round. I feel like if you look at normal rounds, the balls you're hitting out of play aren't they're not your high risk reward shots. I mean, I think, unfortunately, you're still hitting the routine ball out of play.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, obviously, if you cut that number down, and if you want to, you know, the risk reward is just another, almost a whole another subject. But that's, I don't know. I'd be intrigued on that. I mean, what's the difference if you're looking at a 10, 12, 15 handicapper? Laying up may not be the best play for a 15 handicapper because you're just as likely to make a bogey from 100 yards as you are to make a bogey from 200 yards. You know, I mean, so I don't know. Yeah, I guess obviously consistency of the ball contact. And I know for me lately, the consistency of my club face has been really bad. That's because when I miss, I'm missing 70 yards at times, even on weird shots. I don't know. It's intriguing. I would say more at your thing. You know, go out there one day and say, screw it. I'm going to go for everything, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, let's be honest. I mean, as much as we talk about going to center of.
I mean, what do I have to lose besides, you know, 13 more balls?
Well, I mean, as far as going to like centers of greens, I mean, I don't think any of us are that good. I mean, I usually favor the bigger part of the green. Doesn't always think.
Yeah. That's not really something that like I've adjusted. Yeah. I always was just like, all right, let me aim from the center of the green. And that way I got a two-way miss and I'm either closer or further away than the hole.
I mean, my mindset off the tee, and I don't know why I always bring up the number 70 yards. You want to hit driver to where you have 70 yards from corner side to side. Right? That's the idea you want to do. And then obviously you're taking away one side of the golf course if you're playing only a cut, which I'm still turning stuff over, snap hooking at times too. Don't get me wrong, especially my hybrid times. So I guess that's where I look at playing a little bit safer off the tee. You know, I wouldn't want to hit driver to where I only have 30-yard landing space. I mean, I don't think pros hit driver to where they only have 30 yards landing space. I don't think.
Yeah.
Obviously.
They always play back to wider fairway portions and whatnot.
So, I don't know. I think you have a valid point. At a 15 handicap, maybe going for it, the risk reward is good. Now, I listened to a podcast that may be interesting for you that to start thinking about as well, too, is... It's a guy who he can't play. He's really good at bending it around trees or like making these heroic shots when he's got a face in front of you. So if he's got a tree, you know, he's got to work it right to left or left to right around it. But you put him in the fairway, he can't visualize like a straight shot. Okay. So his swing coach that told him, then when you're in the fairway, just visualize there's a tree in front of you. Like, and try to work the ball. You know, there are people that when you look out there, and you know, Tiger used to talk about his nine windows. I always joke with Tyler, I got four windows. I got a push high, a push low, but a pull and a pull high. So I got four windows. They're about 20 feet by 20 feet. They're not small windows. But I do try to visualize going through one of those and around it. And I have found when I try to work the ball, I'm much better than trying to hit something straight. So I don't want you to say, bring that tree into the middle of the fairway, but maybe visually start trying to, it's not really a heroic shot, obviously, from the fairway, but don't be scared to try to work something 10, 15 yards, because being the athlete, That's what you're good at, right? Is that pressure coming in with the correct club face. Being the robot, nobody's good at being a robot. You know, that's why humans don't succeed in that area. So I don't know, maybe that's something to look for. So maybe your thought is the risk reward and being more aggressive necessarily is just changing the mindset on those shots. When you do have an open nothing in front of you, be like, all right, I want to work it in one way or the other. You know, maybe favor the middle of the green and work it towards the pin, vice versa, or whatever you got going on that day. I mean, I was playing in one of those AT matches on Sunday. It was a right pin with a right wind, right to left wind. And I've been hooking things all day. And I'm like, I should hit a nut. I kind of cut, I take an extra club, right? And try to fade it against the wind. And I was like, dude, I'm not that good. I aimed 20 yards left of the green and I hooked one in there and I actually hit a pretty good ball in there. Played that completely the wrong way, right? You're not supposed to start the ball off the green to bring it back on the green, but at that moment, that's what in my head was telling me. So I get what you're saying. I don't know if it's aggressive, but play the shot, you know, don't play the swing. Yeah. That's something, because when you get thinking a little bit up there, you do, that's when your big misses come into play. You know, just dragging the club face on the driver can knock it 70 yards right real easily. Yeah. South righting, which is where you play most of your rounds anyway, it's not open and it's not tight, but man, you can miss in a hurry. You know, I would say Stone Lee is a little bit tougher because it's blind landing shots sometimes, so you don't necessarily know how big it is, but when you miss, you miss in a hurry. And I think South Righting is very similar as well too. I mean, the landing spots for drivers not always very big. But that's, I don't know. I'd be intrigued on that. On a 15 handicapper, is playing the smart shot, better shot all the time, or is playing the more aggressive feeling shot the way to go?
Cause like, you know, you've seen all these articles and posts and everything where it's like, all right, if you're a high handicapper, you know, play everything as if you're going for bogey, like play every hole as if bogey is par. And play it that way rather than like forcing shots and whatnot. And like, you know, I've tried to like adjust that mindset and take that out on the course and whatnot. But then I get to the point where I'm like, what the hell am I doing? Like, why am I hitting a three hybrid on a long par four just to basically still have 220 in and having to hit another hybrid or hit a five iron to 30 yards in front of the green and then basically, you know, chip up.
I'm with you. I mean, how many times, I mean, you've played with me enough. How many times do I hit hybrid out of bounds? I'm like, I should have just hit driver there. If I'm going to hit it out of bounds, I might as well hit 70 yards out of bounds. Like, I could feel good about myself that I hit it far.
I mean, that's the thing is today it was weird because I was having good contact. It's not like, I mean, I had the ping a lot, which means I was hitting the sweet spot and whatnot of those clubs. And it was just alignment, club face alignment. Like I just couldn't figure it out. I was sitting there. If I had my alignment sticks, I would have tossed them down on the ground on every single shot on the back nine.
Yeah. I hate this conversation. Probably should not be after today because that's the one you keep going back to. And I do as well too. I mean, it's obviously most recent, but after a good round, like we have the same conversation. Hey, what did you feel? Were you going for stuff? Were you not going for stuff? I'd be intrigued, but, what are two things that stand out so far that either surprise you or that you want to do for the remainder of our year to see if we can get close to our goals? So what's two things that you think stand out?
One, I still have no clue where the ball's going off the tee. Again, that sucks. But, you know, it's one thing that it sucks right now is I cannot transition my warm-up on the range or my range practice to the course. Like I can go and have a fantastic practice. Yes. Like if I'm hitting say a full bucket of balls, there's, you know, 80 to 90 balls in that bucket. You know, yes, I will still have, you know, four or five bad shots where I'll be like, oh, whoa, what was that? And then like, if I'm playing, you know, mentally, playing holes and whatnot and going through and have a couple bad shots through there. It's like, okay, all right, whatever. but I can always bring it back and you know, the next one I hit clean. Some reason that's not translating to the golf course. Like, I mean, I will say that like putting is always there. I really don't feel as if like I misalign myself or really, you know, sometimes I'll have a little more pace.
Yeah, I mean,
on the putt,
I would say putting your stroke is consistent. Like it's very repeatable.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody's going to struggle with pace. I mean, it's just, if you don't play the same golf course 100 times, and even if you play the same golf course 100 times, they cut it one day, they don't cut it one day, you know, spike marks later in the day, moisture, all that stuff. I mean, that's golf. So I would say putting is something that is probably your most consistent as far as stroke. You know, we had that one bad putting round a couple weeks ago, but that's a pace thing more than I think a stroke thing. And I don't think, I mean, obviously, if you wanted to say both of us could read the green better, 100%, we could learn to read the greens better. But I don't think we struggle enough to where I would work on other things before working on green reading. I mean, for both of us. I mean, you know, when we play together, we make a lot of putts, but you know, we play in a team thing. But yeah, I don't. It's funny. It's a lot of things that you're saying. Like, now that my little guy's playing a little bit more competitive golf, you know, he's been in two tournaments now, and he wants to compete. Like, even out here tonight, when I took him out there, he wants it all to be compete. So we're finishing everything. You know, he had a really bad break and put it in like between three trees, and it was on the stump, and like so. He's like, well, what am I supposed to do? And I was like, well, you know, it's you know, it's an unplayable lie. This is what you're supposed to do. We walk it off, and I go down there, and he's like, I go, what'd you get? And he says it, and I was like, did you count your penalty? He goes, well, what was the penalty? And we walk through it, and I was like, well, you don't have to take it if you don't want to. Just to practice round. We were not really trying to do anything special. And he's like, no, I need to do this. And so we start talking a lot about. Bogey is a good score. Depending on where you are off the tee, bogey is a good score. Now, if you're striping it down the middle and you're inside 100 yards, 9 times out of 10, we should make par. Remember, not 9 times, let's be realistic. Maybe 6 times out of 10, we should be making par. But those other times, we have to understand we're not going to always hit the green. We're just not. I mean, what's that stat from a pro? From 150 feet, you know, they're still, I think, closest to approach is like 35 feet, right? So if you miss 35 feet
from 150 yards,
I'm sorry, 150 yards, they're hitting it to, at best, on average, 35 feet.
Yeah.
If you're doing that, you're going to miss greens. I mean, there's going to be places where pins put you in a spot where you're off the green. And what I try to tell him is you can get upset if it's a ball contact thing or if it's something you can control. But if you hit a good shot and it just doesn't hit the green because you pushed it a little bit, move on. Give yourself a chance at the next one. And I think I know you do that mentally, is how you just need to make sure we knew that physically. And that's something that I've been able to, like today, I had no double bogeys, you know. When I was looking at your stats, I've gone like, I think there's twice this year I've gone into the 40s or 50s. Consecutive holes without a double bogey, and that's a lot. I mean, I didn't really pay attention to that before. I mean, obviously I try not to have double bogeys, but they creep into the rounds here and there. If you could cut out those big numbers, I mean, that would be ginormous. But fortunately, I do think a lot of yours are penalties more than anything.
Yeah, I mean, there's plenty of times where I'm dropping two, hitting three, and basically birdieing that ball.
Yeah. Birdieing or even, I mean, you even make par, which is good.
Yeah, exactly.
Like there are times double bogey when you hit it OB. It is what it is. It's like, it's a good score.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, how to translate it for the course. And that's something Tyler, the little guy, and I talk about all the time too. And being a baseball guy, there was days where he had bad BP, but you couldn't have a bad BP and take it into the game. There's days I can stripe it warming up and I get out there and I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't even know what the ball is doing today and not even making good contact. So I don't know. I mean, a lot of people always say, you know, what are they, your best rounds start with a bogey, you know, and I can't say they're wrong. There's times where I've been two or three over early and I want to be like, well, this sucks. I don't even want to play anymore. I can't shoot my best round. And I end up being two to three over after nine holes. So I don't know if it's a mindset thing. I don't know. I feel you. So being able to translate is one thing. What is another thing that you think can stand out or you want to work on as the year goes?
Really, I mean, I just have to get consistent off the tee. I have to get driver or three wood working off the tee. Like I said, I've said it probably for 2 years. Like I would take it in a heartbeat if I could hit the ball. Like I hit the ball far, yes. But at the same time, if I could hit the ball 230, 240 off the tee.
Yeah.
And know where it was going every single time, like a repeatable ball flight, a repeatable swing, and I can play to that swing and that ball flight, I would give anything for that at this point. Like, I don't care.
Do you
about
remember
300 yard?
Right. Do you remember that that ebook I sent you? I mean, this is probably,
yeah.
Have you read it?
I have it printed out and put in my it's in my bag right now.
But have you read it? Because I'll be honest with you, it took me a long time to read it.
Skimmed it, not read it. I haven't verbatimed it, but okay. I have skimmed through it and checked out everything on it.
Yeah, so it took me a long time to read that book as well. It took me longer than I would want to admit, to be honest with you. But I am getting into it a little bit more because of my little guy. Like, I want to be able to offer drills. And
right.
I've never, and I think both of us have never truly, truly practiced golf until we started this whole nonsense goal we have in our mind last year.
Yeah.
And
stupid, ridiculous goal.
And I think going to the range was like very far and few between, you know, let's be honest. And going to chip and putt, I mean, that could have been years in between that I actually went and practiced chipping and putting. And I honestly, so reading it now, I've been able to come up with or understand some just basic drills that you could work on at the range. And I've been concentrating a lot on the chipping and putting just because it's something I can do with him because I need it as well too. But there is some driver stuff on there. And I kind of started looking at those and I scratched my head because I'll be honest with you, it's almost like I go up there and I want to do them, but then I start looking around like, man, if like one of the drills is swing the driver at like 35%.
Yeah. And it's got to turn left.
And so it's like, okay, like, did that guy see me? I didn't miss hit that one. You know, that's what I was trying to do.
You know, it's hysterical. Did that today. And as part of my warm up with driver, I did that. I was like, all right, I'm just swinging. It's just balls can go 50 yards, but it's got to turn a little right. bit left. And like, I went through it and did it. And then I literally looked behind me and there is grass tees today. Like all Compass Point is grass tees now, but there is about 30 yards behind where the grass tees are. There's mats and it's maybe 15 yards to the right of where the grass tees are. Okay. And there's some dude like, and he's obviously a stick, but he's out there pants and polo and he is teed up just in front of the mats. So I'm guessing like I kind of look back and I'm like, why is he back there? I was like, oh, maybe
he hits it too far.
I was like, does he really think he can hit that house that's that far away? I mean, because there are some houses at the end of the range. But they're down there. And he starts smoking them. I'm like, this is the last thing that I would do, because knowing me, I would just snap hook one right into like old man Ed's back and then just have to walk off the course like right then and there, never show my face again. But like, dude was smoking it like, you know, zoom, right next to people's heads, like just right down the middle. And I was just like, I'm over here swinging 35% to try the course, not so that I don't snap hook my first try.
It's an ego thing. I mean, I'll do that because it's like, I think it's drills like 35%, 50%, 75%, and then you keep working your way up. And like, I'll do it once, and it's like, did anybody see me? But it's like, oh, I'll hit 10 balls that way, hit 10. I'm like, dude, I spent 30 balls, and like, I haven't hit the ball. And then like, this driver's set up for a high swing speed. I'm like, but I'm telling you, that little stuff like that is in that book, and it's like, all right, I see it. And even it, to me, from doing nothing to just doing something, I'm like, I'm seeing, like, I'm hitting the ball better off the tee right now. I'm really trying. I put my dots like on the inner part to make sure that I'm staying inside, and I try to hit my markings because I've been putting three dots on the ball. I put one for each kid, and I try to hit those dots every single time I drive. You know,
I know. Sounds weird when you put it that way. Bit. It's like, three dots represent my kids. That's my aim.
Smash it with my driver.
I'm trying to smash those three dots hard with my driver.
Like even Brian today, he goes, "Dude, you're hitting the drive better," and it's helping me because if I am missing, I know where my miss is going. Now, do every once in a while I snap hook some and turn it over? Oh yeah. Do I question what the heck was I doing? And have any idea? No, I have no idea why I did it and whatnot. But
maybe I need another round with our friend Brian.
Every day he always asks how you're doing. So come on out.
I will say. I when we were, I think it was the scramble round.
Yeah, versus me and Anthony.
I hit the ball. Well, no, that was the singles. Scramble round. We were playing Ernie and. Who was it? Ernie and Nick? No. Billy and Nick? Yeah.
Oh, no. We played you in the 6-6 round.
Yeah. That's what it was. And basically, like, I hit the ball well, but I think I just need, like, I don't know. Maybe I just need to come out and play with you, and we need to play around, and I need to double check this grip that I have changed with. Cause I mean, like I said, I have played with everything so much that nothing feels correct anymore.
Yeah. I will say, like, when we looked at rounds again, not to bring that back up and cut on what you were saying, but I don't have as many rounds going out there for fun, hitting two balls, practicing. I feel like more of my rounds, and I know you're always in this situation just because
all of my rounds are scored.
They have to score. And I do think it makes a huge difference. Like tonight, we went out the 9 holes. I ended up shooting 1 under. We played par 3s from the reds. I bogeyed one. I won't admit that. That was one of my bogeys. But I ended up having, and then we played everything else from the blues. Pretty much everything else from the blues. So I obviously can't score it because it's not a real round. We both were even through 8, trying to who can make birdie on 9, and I was able to roll one in, and his came up a little bit short. But like, it was so stress free, and it's like, all right, I'm learning how to score and doing different things. And when you're only trying to score, you don't learn how to score. You always have that kind of like forced mentality that, oh man. And then if you get that double bogey or triple bogey, I got to make it up on the next hole. Mm-hmm. And that's one thing, like I said earlier, I've started off some bad rounds and I ended up saving some rounds because it's like, all right, just be patient. You know, if I don't have today, I have tomorrow. If I don't have tomorrow, I have the next day or the next round or whatever it is. And, you know, I would say for you playing, I mean, I know it's difficult, but playing, maybe it's, I mean, I know you can do it. I know you can get out there and play a little bit more, but it's a sacrifice. It's a sacrifice for the family as well, too. So not to drag this on a little bit more, but two things that I kind of stood out to me. I was shocked that I've only scored 20 23 rounds of 18 hole rounds. Yeah. I thought I would have had more. I was a little shocked there. I wasn't too shocked that my rounds were down, just for the mere fact in the spring was not only wet, but with all this stuff going on, youth sports wise. And I was a little shocked that my scoring average was quite as low as it is. But I was kind of pumped. I mean, I want it to be like today. I want my golf to be like today. When I don't play well, I still can
still shoot. Or score.
I can still score in the 70s. And it was funny. Obviously, I didn't play with Brian all day, but when he came back with his little guy, or showed up with his little guy, and we went out, you know, he goes, "How'd you play today?" And I was like, I hit it poorly. I mean, there was five holes where I don't think I struck an iron crisp at all. And I think I was one over after those holes, just because I was able to get up and down or do whatever it needed to be. Or it wasn't so bad where I was off the green. That's what I want my golf to be. So if there's anything that I want to be able to go out with two things. I want to go out and I want to shoot around in the 60s. I want to be the,
oh boy,
I know. I want to be that guy that say, "Oh yeah, I can shoot in the 60s, but I want to be able to go out and play where like 80s aren't really a thing. Now, obviously they're going to pop up, but like the 70s is where I'm going to be. And I know that's a lot to ask. It's very easy right now with, you know, not as much responsibilities because we're in between seasons with a lot of things, but, you know, that's kind of where I want to be on my two, but let's end it right here. And, we always talk about the scale of positivity, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10, you know, we have our goals. I know it's a rough one to bring it up on. We have our goals of you want to shoot rounds in the 70s and you get to that single digit handicap. I want to shoot an even par or better. Let's take even par. I'm going to shoot a better than even par round and get down to I really want to get down to below a two. I want to try to stay down there. I would love to see a 0 point something, but I don't know if that's going to be a lot.
1.9 will be acceptable.
Well, I want to see a 0.9. I'd love to see that.
But one, if you're below two,
yeah, I'll take 1.9 as well too and stay down that way. And, scale of positivity, you know, one being zero, one being the worst, 10 being the best. Where are we sitting right now? Mid-year.
See, this is funny because I'm usually the positive person that I can turn around. And after Saturday and then today, like back to back, just kicks in the balls. I'm going to say right now, like a single digit handicap and a 70s round, I feel so far away and not unattainable, but just so far away from being attainable. I'm going to put me at a mediocre 4.
Okay. That's by far the lowest you've ever showed up on.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to
ain't gonna stop trying, obviously, but like, as far as like, I think maybe since me having such a high, you know, scale of positivity that it's doable. Cause I mean, like I literally, this is what's funny is prior to the round, like when I was feeling good today and like, I was like, Laura was like, "Go up and warm up. Like, why don't you leave at like 1:30? Your tee time's not until 2:15. Like, go up, have like a 45 minute warm up." She was like, "Have a beer if you want to," like type thing. I was like, "Bet." Felt great about it. I almost texted you blind Hail Mary today. And I'm so happy I didn't. Cause like, I was like, you know what? I was like, that's just going to put more pressure on me. I was like, let's just go play. And like, felt good warming up. I was like, okay, I'm pushing the ball a little bit to the right. I was like, okay, but I can play there.
Yeah.
And then first couple shots, it was like, you know, just pew, 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 pew. Felt like Spider-Man, like, you know, shooting webs in every direction.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm glad you didn't do blind Hail Mary. I would have felt bad for you. I thought about Hail Mary, but I was just like, I really didn't figure it out until I birdied 15 and 17 to bring it back.
If you texted me that, I would have been like, he just hit another par round. Jesus.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's pretty low for you. So we're gonna have to turn around and get inside. I would say if you know we're big on challenges. We like to be challenged. I would go back to our first big thing we talked about, challenging ourselves. I'd like to see you write down your weekly practice plan on what you're going to do golf wise to get better. And my big challenge is that I know you never walk into a workout without a plan. Write down what your plan for golf weekly and see if you're going to be, because something's got to change, and controlling what you can control is the first thing you can change. And that's obviously preparation and mentality. And, you know, I tell my little guy before every swing, what can you control? You can't control where the ball goes after it's out of your club, right? But you can prepare yourself to be balanced, attacking the ball, right? And then you have about 30 seconds after you hit that. If you want to be upset, that's fine. But if you're moving on, the most important thing is what's next. And so, and again, I'm guilty as well, too, because I said I was going to write down a plan and do this and that. Life gets in the way, right? Life gets in the way. You know, you know, people get hit in the head, and it just makes things more challenging. So, but that's my challenge to you, because I do think, and I Brian and I both agree. I mean, you're too athletic to be shooting a 101. I mean, you're not going to let that happen a lot. I understand that, but I want to see you in the 80s consistently, because then once you're in the 80s, it's going to be 2-3 shots away from being in the 70s. But if it's being able to do 20 minutes here, 20 minutes there of practice, have a purpose with the practice. And I really do think that's something that I've been going up there with, and not just pounding balls. It's working swing path, slow motion, repetitive movements, trying to clean things up, you know, trying to take it.
I got my meter stick.
Trying to take that extra club and bring it back, you know, like, you know, if it's a 150 shot, try to hit a 7-iron to 150, learn how, and that's all club face control. And that's where my big struggle is, because I close things down a lot. And, you know, and if all else fails, buy a new set of clubs, and then we'll go from there. That's going to be the last resort at the end of the year. My last advice would be.
That's true. I got too many golf trips to pay for. So,
but mid-year reviews, it's been a good, you are trending. I know it's not a lot, you know, you did go up, but you're going down. The time last year where you caught up quite a bit. You got that number down. So let's keep going in that direction. Next time we get on the mics, I want to talk about the perfect game. It's going to be another bonus point that we can add to our summer season, but we'll go over that next time, the perfect game.
I'm intrigued.
But until then, make sure everybody checks us out on our social media accounts. Check us out on YouTube, like, follow, subscribe, tell your friends, and we will be back. Talk to you then.